Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 15. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
You go on to the local college campuses across our country today, and you got guys who are studying things like engineering. And a guy would talk to them, and they would say they don't believe in God, and they would go back, and they would say, well, let me ask you this. If I ask you what 2 plus 2 is, what would you say? He'd say, maybe it's 4. And they'd begin to renegotiate, and they'd go back and say, it depends. Because young people don't have a commitment to truth in our newest generations that are coming up. You could get this heard over and over again. Young people are dodging absolutes. But the reality for you and me is we know that God is true and every man is a liar in his core. And we need to be focusing on him because we can't trust anyone else. Listen, you can't even trust your heart. You know, people say, follow your heart. Well, don't do that. Do anything but that. If you follow your heart, you're going to be in the toilet in a hurry, right? Because your heart's going to take you all over. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. But of all things, who can know it? Meaning you can't know it. So if your heart's tweaking you and saying you need to go this way or that, don't listen. Listen to Jesus, because he says, I am the way. And if you got the way with you, you don't have to worry about getting directions. Just look at him. Where's he going? You go with him, right? Now, the Bible says that he's telling them that he had brought a message to them earlier. And in verse 4, it says that the message was this. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Now, right away, we say, well, that's good. We know this. I am smart today in church. But what we have to recognize is there's a context to this statement. He's saying it to people he knows have already called into question the gospel. So you see why he's saying it. He's not just saying it to put it on record. He's saying it because some people are saying he didn't raise anybody from the dead because nobody can raise from the dead. Now, that's a huge deal right there. That makes clarity here being given important. Because if somebody thinks nobody can raise from the dead, they've not either listened to or accepted the gospel. They what? Maybe believed in vain. Maybe they didn't think it through. See? So when you believe in vain, it's somebody who doesn't have all their facts in a row. They aren't looking at it. Now listen, faith is based upon fact. When we go through a green light, we have the knowledge in our minds that there's a red light going the other way. And unless something weird happens, pretty much all the time, you're going to be okay. Now and again, you get the poor soul who couldn't wait and had to text going through a red light. See what I did right there? You know, sometimes there's a problem because we allow ourselves to get overly distracted and something can mess up the paradigm. But we know some things. You sit on a chair and you don't worry about wondering whether it's going to keep you up or not. You're thinking, well, a lot of people probably sat in this chair. It's right here on the edge of the row. And I think if it was a bad one, they certainly would. You know, you've got reasons for your faith. Same thing with Christendom. You don't go to Christ and say, boy, I really, 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 really believe. And you have no clue about what it's all about. You don't get saved by just saying, I believe. You don't get saved just by praying. But you do get saved by praying when you understand. Your mind's engaged. Because we understand what he did. And he says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we should call. Right? We should. Hosea chapter 14 talks about take words with you. He's talking to the Israelites. Repentance means taking words with you. Say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I need your mercy. But as I look at this passage, I want you to recognize that what happens here is that he's talking about what the Scriptures say. He's saying, I didn't just tell you that. He says he died according to the Scriptures. He was buried, rose again according to the Scriptures. So the Scriptures are huge. I heard yesterday that if you took all of the manuscript evidence we have for the Bible, it would go a mile high. You just stacked them up. It could go as high as a mile high. Did you ever hear this before? I heard it in the Case for Christ. The new movie. The guy's out there doing an investigation. Investigation. You know, a lot of people have taken everything that they've been told and they've taken it and said, that's mine. Because maybe they read a book for college or high school or something and they think it's theirs because they read it. And they put the investment in. They sweat over that book. They got the good grade. And subsequently what happens is they think that's what's true. Because after all, they read the book. But you didn't ask who wrote the book. Some godless secularists. Do you know they were putting stuff out in Texas where a lot of the textbooks come from? They were putting stuff out. They were encouraging them to pray the conversion prayer to Islam. That was in the books. Some people found out that was going on and they said, that's not right. And finally they got it stopped, but it was there. And some of those books did squeak through and some different school systems have had their kids praying that prayer just as an exercise, quote unquote. It's a scary day you're living in because there's an insidiousness about it. So he says, no, you want to know what the paradigm is? You want to know what the plumb line is? The plumb line is the Scriptures. Okay? He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. I thank God He told us ahead of time it was going to happen, and then He did it. He said, I'm going to go lay down my life, but on the third day I'm going to raise up again. He says, it's important that I do this. Because I'm the good shepherd. I'm going to give my life for the sheep. Greater love has no man than this. Then he laid down his life for his friends. Now, subsequently, you're going to step back and say, well, if I'm a doubter, I want to find a reason why that might not be true. You're on the right track. If you really, really are going to be honest, doubter, you're going to want to go look for the answer. You're going to want to do what? Investigate. Because if you're right, fine. Paul himself in this chapter says, if Christ be not risen, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It's just nothing, you know? But if it's true, then you're going to be in the deep carpet one day, and you're going to have to give an account for every sin you've ever committed. Now, we need to get on the right side of this, and there's no reason not to. Christianity just helps people be better people. Helps people get out of the cesspool and get in to the celestial city. How cool is that, right? And it's a free gift. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the what? Gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I love that, right? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. It had to be because you didn't deserve it and we couldn't earn it. See? You and I have a great heritage. We had a great foundation for our faith in the Word of God because so many of the prophecies were fulfilled. And he's talking about the Scriptures, the Scriptures. Verse 5 says, he was seen, he was seen, he was seen, he was seen. Verse 8, all the way down, he says it four times. People saw him. And in the end of that, he says he was seen about 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part remained to this present. He says, you want to know whether this is true or not? Go talk to the 500 that were sitting there when he was talking. After his death, burial, and resurrection. These people could have disproven it at the outset. You want to know another good reason to believe? Is because those who crucified him back on Passover weekend, those people were the same people who cried, what must we do in chapter 1 of the book of Acts? Remember what Jesus prayed on the cross? Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. Right? And then on Pentecost, when the Spirit fell and all the apostles kind of flowed out into the street, speaking in the languages of a bunch of non-Palestinian Jews who were in for the Feast of Pentecost, he's up there preaching, and so are all of his comrades. These guys are all up there preaching, and everybody's hearing it in their language. Why? Because God was answering the prayer of Jesus. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they did. And so after they have crucified him, 50 days later, they're crying out, what must we do to be saved? 3,000 Jewish people were the priming of the pump, if you will, of the birth of the church as we know it today, the bride of Christ. They got saved by faith in Jesus, just like you and I have to. Prior to that, they were his haters. And at the end of those 50 days, many of them came across the line and said, we were wrong. And you want to know what's really cool? They killed Jesus, and God could even forgive that. Now, I'm talking big time here. The grace of God is an amazing thing. And you'd think, well, why would he? Because that's what God is. God is love. Right? I'm telling you, this is a powerful truth to know the resurrection actually does have the power to help people believe that God himself would somehow save them, even in spite of all the bad things they've ever done. Even Paul was a blasphemer. He was injurious. He was a persecutor of the church. And he says in Timothy, he says, listen, God set me forth as an example early so other people would know, no matter how bad they were, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I had all of the knowledge I should have had to be able to receive him. And I was persecuting and trying to put people to death. In fact, in the book of Acts, we find he was compelling believers to blaspheme that holy name. But guess what? Jesus forgave even him. He can forgive you too. That's important to know. The Bible says he was seen in verse 8 of me also as one born out of due time. Now, I'm not going to read all of this chapter. We're going to leapfrog through it a little bit. Verse 12, but let your eye fall down there. The Bible says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You see, at this point, he's saying, they're not saying Jesus didn't rise. They're just saying there is no resurrection. You know why they're saying it? Because it doesn't make sense. I want to tell you some other things that don't make sense. It don't make sense that we're standing here on a ball of dirt flying through space, spinning and swirling, and we aren't hitting anything. And if you go down into the micro side of things, and you look into that chair you're sitting in, there's a lot of space between all those molecules, and they're not flying out into space either, because they're upheld by the word of his power. You know how they talk about magnetic opposites to push away from each other? You got electrons, neutrons, and protons, they're opposite, they should be flying apart. But he says you stand there. You know, we who work on things, we like to see things come together. Sometimes you got to pack everything together and you get something to hold this and something to hold that. Honey, put your finger there and you got your wife out there and the dog's there and you're pushing against the wall and you're squeezing everything together. And boom, you know, some spring goes and you're like, ah, man, think. And you're just like, you know, God doesn't have any of that problem. He didn't break a sweat. The body you live in, the body you're in right now, that's God's. He made it. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and your body even holds together. And guess what? It's coming to get unglued as we go along, isn't it? Not mine, but yours is. Okay, we're melting. I like to look at it like that. I like the fact that I wear glasses. Somebody said, you want to get LASIK? I said, no, I want to cover this up. You know, we're all falling apart. We're born dying, right? As time goes on, we get worse and worse. And, you know, there's an upswing, but suddenly it's like it can only take so much. And suddenly we begin to break down. None of us is getting out alive. And you know what's really cool? Is that because Jesus died, and he did die, and he was buried, and he was buried for 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth, as he prophesied he would be. When he rose again, he proved that, listen, if you trust him, the water's fine on his side of the fence. He says, I'll go first. I'll go first. I'll show you that this is okay. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And he says, let me demonstrate. And he allows them to take him, beat him, spit upon him, rip out his beard, mock him, hit him with sticks, punch him, blindfold him, get down on the knee and bow and mock him. The Bible says that his face was marred more than any man's. You couldn't even recognize him. They took a cat of nine tails with pieces of bone and metal in each strand of the whip, and they pulled back the arms and swung as hard as they could, and then they yanked it through as the bone and metal grabbed a hold of his flesh and ripped the flesh. He was a bloody mess. But that wasn't enough for them. They take him and they put a cross on his back and say, now walk. And he stumbles under the load. They have to compel a man named Simon, an Ethiopian, I think it is, and he bears his cross for him. Which, by the way, makes him probably the black man in the picture who's doing a service for the king, which I believe probably became his king later, because he saw what happened up close and personal, didn't he? So he stumbles under that load and he carries that cross for Jesus. When he gets there, Jesus has never opened his mouth once. Why? Because he wasn't paying for our sins yet. You say, what? He was beaten, right? He was punched in the face. No, he wasn't paying for our sins yet in the proper sense, because he was still the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The Bible says it was when he was hung on the cross that he became a curse for us. And you know what the other stuff was? He was wounded for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. But the fact is all that was the devil's effort to get him to say, uncle, and leave. I'm giving you a chance to leave. He told Peter, he said, listen, I could call my father right now. He'd send 12 legions of angels and he would deliver me. And I don't have to go. But I am here for this purpose. That's why he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Because as God incarnate, he was able to see every lash before it ever hit him. And it burst the vessels in his brow. You and I have a Savior who loved us enough to say, I'm not turning back. And with every step, he had you on his mind. With every step, he had me on his mind. With every lash, he said, it's Dave. He says, it's John, it's Jim, it's Sandy, it's Samantha, it's Sarah, it's whoever. And he knew them all. And the Bible says that he became a curse for us, because cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. He wasn't a curse yet. But when he got to the cross, they nailed his hands to the cross, they nailed his feet to the cross, and they ripped all of his clothing off. He hung naked and ashamed, and he bore our shame. He bore our sin. It was as if he was an adulterer. It was as if he was a murderer. It was as if he was a thief. And he died absorbing the consequences of every single thing you have ever thought, said, or done so that you could be saved. But it wasn't until they put him on that cross that the Father stepped in.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.